This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Hi, welcome to the Financial Standard podcast. My name is Matthew Wai and I'm a journalist at the Financial Standard team. For those listeners that are heading to the airport, this is really well fitting to today's topic as we're talking about the aerospace industry. Taking a hit from COVID, the pandemic, travel, aerospace industry has come to a halt. But now we are ease away from those travel restrictions. So now to keep you up to date, today we have Sam Ruiz, portfolio specialist at T. Rowe Price, to discuss about the current developments across the sector. Thanks for being with us, Sam.
Hey, Matt.
Can you explain the current dynamics in the industry and how it has performed?
Yeah, sure. I think it's important just to take a quick step back. We are investing globally across all sectors and industries. And I just say thank you. This is probably the first time in 2 years someone hasn't asked us to talk about AI. So there are a lot more opportunities in the market than just this one, you know, huge innovation we're seeing. What I would just highlight is I think this intense focus on AI and what we're now seeing in the market with all these meme stocks trading, you know, so sky high. Pardon the pun, we're talking about aerospace, is there are a lot of other industries that are in a really dynamic sweet spot right now. And when it comes to aerospace specifically, what I would say is it feels like a long time ago that we were finding that there were impacts from COVID, from shortages in labor, from supply chain shocks because borders were closed and industries couldn't manufacture things. That is something that is still rolling through some segments of global economies. And aerospace is one of those. Now, when we take a step back, what are we investing in aerospace? Now, most people think, I don't even want to focus on this space because I keep hearing airlines are bad businesses. Razor-thin margins. If you see any increasing costs from unions on labor, if you see increased energy costs, that can be really bad for profitability. Behind airlines, though, there are critical supply chains that manufacture and produce the aircraft that we fly on, but also other segments of the industry that help supply equipment that goes into those aircraft, such as engines or repair and service. Now, what we're seeing as a result of COVID is that a lot of these aircraft, you might remember images of planes sitting in deserts parked because they weren't flying. You also had airlines operating on really low cash flows, so they were delaying aircraft they would purchase, and they were delaying servicing existing aircraft. Now, it's not a nice thought flying in the sky, realizing that your plane is running overtime or needing to be serviced, but that's the dynamic. Where we sit today is a really unique, basically, we're back at 2019 air traffic levels today. So we've recovered to pre-pandemic levels, but the supply chains haven't caught up. And now you have all these aircraft, basically, or airlines coming saying, oh, those planes I didn't order, I want them now. Or I didn't service my plane, but now I need to. And they're all coming in at the same time, which is creating a really unique supply-demand mismatch. And demand is expected, in our view, from the research we do, to outstrip supply out into beyond 2030.
So looking at the industry as it is, can you elaborate what's the trend that we're observing at the moment?
So the trend we're observing at the moment is really one I'd characterize by backlogs. So we have an industry now where if you are an airline wanting a plane, you might have to wait upwards of 10 years to actually have that plane delivered. Now, to level set, it's basically Airbus and Boeing. They're more than 90% market share. No one else can really compete in commercial aircraft. There's about 30,000 aircraft flying in the sky today. So a lot of airlines want new aircraft. The production rates of those aircraft are much lower than where they were pre-COVID. The supply chains haven't been able to catch up. Quick stat for you, Airbus and Boeing were producing about 1,600 aircraft per annum in 2019. Today, we're about 25% below those levels at about 1,200, despite there being 10 years worth of planes in demand. They can't get enough planes out the door. When it comes to servicing as well, there's about a two-year backlog before you can even have your plane serviced. What that means for us is if you can invest in one of these companies that's going to take production levels from sort of 1,200 levels up to 1,600, that's a really good opportunity for operating leverage and revenue expansion. But it also means that we have much greater visibility into the future of how long that demand will stick around. So traditionally, these were really cyclical industries, but if you owned an airline, let's put it this way, and you're like, geez, I'm a bit worried about my customer base or air traffic volumes, how about I just put off that new purchase of a 737 or A320? It's like, oh, but if I have to get to the back of a 10-year queue, there's no way I'm doing that. So we just think demand's more resilient for longer, and we haven't seen this for over a decade in this industry.
Let's take a step back and have a look at, from COVID's point of view, with, you know, travel being halted, why did that not benefit the supply and demand phenomenon that you've mentioned earlier?
With the travel demand being halted, it basically means people aren't flying. When people aren't flying, airlines are not earning revenue. When airlines have lower demand and less revenue, then they don't see the need to increase the fleet size, but they also can't afford to order new planes. So that's the dynamic we're in now where, as I mentioned, because air traffic is back to 2019 levels, that they're like, okay, we have customer demand again, we have cash flow again, it's time to catch up. So it's not just trying to match the increase in air traffic demand, it's also realizing that you have a certain timeline, but you can't just fly your plane indefinitely without it being serviced. So there's actually something called green time. Green time is basically the amount of time we know that a plane can fly before it needs to come back in for service. Now, a lot of companies delaying the service mean they're running down that green time. And now they're all coming in at the same time now that the environment's better, saying, okay, I'm ready to get my aircraft serviced again. Or, okay, I'm good for those orders that I delayed during COVID. Now, if the whole world does that at the same time, that's when you just get this big imbalance of way more demand than the industry can supply. And it's also being impacted by the delayed supply chain impacts from COVID, where there's not enough skilled people to put these planes together. You'll be comforted to know not any company can just enter the supply chain for aerospace. It's tightly regulated. The companies that actually have the skill, the scale to actually put small fasteners on the planes or put engines on the planes, there's a very small group of companies that can do that. So it's not like if they've got supply chain issues, you can just find a tail of other companies to fill the void. That's why we think that the increased demand coming post-COVID with an industry that's still supply chain constrained means that we think the demand just extends more durably for years from here.
Winding back, you know, for a cyclical industry, you did mention about the sweet spot. So do you know how long this sweet spot is going to last and where is this industry going to be heading to?
The sweet spot really is something we expect that will pretty much be on 2030. We think this dynamic will continue. A lot of it relies on whether that supply chain can catch up and free up and start to expand production. So I gave you the numbers before that between Airbus and Boeing, they produced about 1,600 planes in 2019. I think the last count annually, it's about 1,200. They're expecting to get back between 1,500 and 1,600 by the end of this year. So encouragingly, that means we're going to be back to pre-COVID levels if the supply chain can free up as they expect. So there is, I forget the exact number, but it's in the hundreds. Airbus has hundreds of gliders right now. What gliders mean is it's a plane ready to go in the sky, but they haven't been able to secure the engines yet. So General Electric, Boeing, Rolls-Royce, make these engines. So we're really reliant on that supply chain freeing up to be able to supply the components. There's over 2 million individual components that go into every aircraft. You can't put that aircraft in the sky if just one of those 2 million components doesn't actually meet the manufacturing facility. So that's why we just think all those things are unlikely to unlock really quickly within a single year. If they do, you should be buying as much of these aerospace companies you can because the next 12 months will be incredible for these stocks. But we just think it's then going to be something that takes multiple years, which is why when we think about investing, we think about durable industries where we have visibility of the cash flow and the profitability being here in years to come, managed by good companies. Now, question mark on Boeing, because there's a few issues there and whether management has actually been that strong. So the sweet spot, again, we just think extends beyond 2030 as we get back to higher production levels and as supply chains recover. That just takes longer than a single year.
From an investment point of view, you know, it's interesting that you've mentioned, you know, Boeing and Airbus being the two biggest players in this industry. Are there any other players that's, you know, emerging as close to being a competitor at all?
No, not at all. It's not even worth focusing on them. There's some small ones that focus on sort of regional, very small sort of twin propeller planes, but it is. I would almost characterize it as entirely an Airbus and Boeing market. The cash flow, the capex, the balance sheet you would need to even build these planes to have the ecosystem around you that means that you're reliable enough for one of the airlines to put it this way. We all know Qantas, right? Imagine if you and I started an airline company tomorrow and someone gave us $10 billion. I don't think Qantas is going to take a punt on us and say, yeah, sure, we'll train all these new pilots on the Matt and Sam airlines. That's just a really hard thing to do.
And I liked how you mentioned about Boeing early as well. So I just wondered, like, how, you know, how much effect does do these like recent incidents that we observing as a consumer point of view that really affect the performance of these companies?
Hugely. So Boeing, Airbus, if you were to look at the share prices, Airbus has been considerably better. Airbus has taken over as the lead in market share, producing more planes. That's not something that you would have seen historically. You've seen a lot of airlines delay their orders of the Boeing aircraft. And Boeing has had to shift up management. They've had to think about one of the recent issues you might recall with the door falling off. They actually had the company that was putting together the components for the door used to be part of Boeing. They split it out as a separate company. And then it's basically something you say, we need to get that back within our ownership again to convince regulators that we've got control of our supply chain. They also had to do an equity raising. They had cash flow issues. But at the end of the day, you have an industry in aerospace where air traffic grows 2x GDP. There's two companies there that even supply into the air traffic that regulators, governments even trust to be flying passengers around the world. Boeing will be a company here in the future. It's just the timing of how they raise cash, when they can get those production levels back to where they were previously.
Those are all the questions I have for you today. Thanks for all your insight.
Thanks for letting us be here, Matt.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.